May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I have always loved Christmas. I grew up in a family where the joy and mystery of Christmas was nurtured. I remember fondly Christmas mornings full of fun and anticipation. And those of you who know me know that I have never really completely grown up. I still hope to capture the feeling and wonder of Christmas that is so easily found in childhood. And this is one reason why I enjoy working with children. They see and experience the wonder of life. They grasp and apprehend the wonder of God. And over the past few weeks, I have seen and participated in several children's services and nativity plays, and I enjoy them. The children are, of course, charming in their costumes, and their excitement fills the room. And what I enjoy most is when they do the unexpected. When the sheep go astray, the innkeeper forgets his line, or in our case, in our church nativity play, set in a garage in Pimlico, the cleaners, aka shepherds, announce the birth of Jesus in a broad Cockney or possibly Glaswegian accent. I think we all love these moments because the innocence of the children points us towards hope. As we join them in the story, we no longer think about political uncertainty, war, or senseless tragedy. Our worries are put on hold, if only for a moment. Something within us awakens to the hope the children embody. And this hope points us beyond the confines of our day-to-day existence. This morning, we sing about Jesus being clothed in humanity, veiled in flesh. And these lyrics point us to the heart of what we celebrate this Christmas, when God became one of us in the very core of our existence. This morning we have heard from St. John, who takes us back to the very beginning of our existence, back to creation. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word is God. The Gospel of John has been described by some as a lake so deep that an elephant can swim, and a stream so shallow that a child can safely wade. And so to swim in the depths, to understand the complexity, we must first grasp the simplicity of our faith. This does not mean returning to childish ways. It does mean embracing the belief that there is something more to this life, something beyond what we see and understand. Faith like this begins with desire, the longing to believe in something or someone who reveals the light in the midst of darkness. John speaks of Christ illuminating the world from the very beginning of time. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. If I were to choose one passage of Scripture in which to focus my faith, this would be it. The image of light shining in the midst of darkness points to our hope that when we see the light of Christ, our lives are changed. For even the smallest amount of light will immediately brighten a dark room, dispelling the fear. Now you might be thinking this sounds lovely, but how does the light of Christ change my life? How does it make an impact on our world today? Well, I believe the answer lies in the simple message of Christmas. God in Jesus has not come in power and might, but as a vulnerable baby. God is with us today, not as a distant deity, but as an intimate friend. And because he is, this changes how we see ourselves and impacts how we respond to the world around us. Life with God is not a flight from suffering or pain, but it is a call right into the midst of it. In a world engulfed in darkness, the God of light, is showing us the way to live. And there are signs of his light all around us. Here at St. Peter's, we have a ministry where we visit and make friends with asylum seekers and refugees. And these people each have their story to tell. Many have experienced upheaval and trauma. They've all experienced more than I have in my life of peace and privilege. Over the past few months, we've been invited into the lives of two young mothers and their newborn babies. The church community has gathered around these families in a lovely way, donating new clothes, toys, prams, and anything a new baby might need. And a couple of weeks ago, Amanda, one of our visitors, and I went to visit one of the new mothers and her baby, whom we will call Miriam and Isaac. They had just moved into a small room in a block of flats. It was very small, but well-maintained and adequate for their needs. And we had a lovely visit. The baby was beautiful and full of life. Miriam was happy and very proud of her son. And yet, even in the midst of the joy of newborn life, I was struck by the very tangible feeling of uncertainty and fear in the room. Life for Miriam had been hard, and the two of them will not have an easy road ahead. Miriam is grateful for her life here in England, but is frightened that her baby and everything she has come to know may be taken away. As we spent time with Miriam that day in her little room, I couldn't help but think of the Christmas story, and especially of Mary. For she also feared the loss of her baby at the hands of others. And like many modern-day refugees, her family was on the run. The birth of Jesus embodies the hope of new life. And yet for Mary, her baby was born into danger, into the ever-present reality of darkness. And this is the heart of incarnation, that the God of mercy has come to dwell among us in the midst of the darkness. And so if there is only one thing you take away this morning, it should be that the story of Christmas is not only about angels and shepherds, a mother and her newborn. It is also about Miriam, her baby, and all of us gathered here today. So in the midst of singing carols, listening to stories, and enjoying the company of friends and family, let's rejoice together as we proclaim that God is with us, and because he is, our lives are changed forever. Amen.